is the Tom Likas Show.
I am calling in regards to the Tim Likas Show.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Mad people.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7, Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. And another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as he does every Tuesday, joining us on this bonus hour is family law attorney Adam Saxon Studio. Adam, thanks for coming in. Good to have you.
Hey, Tom. Always great to be here.
What's going on?
You know, you had a really interesting caller a few hours ago, and he was talking about hypergamy and gynocentrism. And I thought this was really interesting. This is something that I really want to talk about briefly. And, you know, things have really changed culturally. Something you were saying, Tom, a few times that you were talking about your own mother and how they don't make women like that anymore.
Right.
And that's not just, you know, talking. That's actually really true. If you look at culture today, and this is, you know, not even a personal thing against women, a lot of men as well. But certainly in terms of women, you have more and more narcissistic women than ever before. And if you just look at the selfie phase, you know, which is craze or whatever, where people are taking pictures of themselves and women are taking pictures of themselves and taking pictures of their food and where they are and all the stuff that is done now is very, very ego kind of driven things. And something that I've been working on lately now, which is coming up a lot, and this is based on people that are narcissistic, is what's called PAS, parental alienation syndrome. And this is absolutely incredible. It's really a fascinating thing because it's only emerging as something that's being recognized. It's not really officially a part of the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental illness and so forth. And it's something that is not recognized, generally speaking, by the courts. So, for example, California and some of the other states don't even really deal with it at all. But it's something that comes up very, very often. And it's something that a lot of certainly people that have been through divorces and so forth or other kinds of breakups are going to recognize. It's really interesting what happens because what ends up, you know, the ability to understand and recognize it is so limited and it's so difficult, but it happens a lot, and a lot of what happens to people is very counterintuitive. So, for example, in a classic parental alienation syndrome situation, mom, you know, sort of grabs the kids. She becomes the primary custodial parent. This is something culturally, even today, that is taken almost for granted. And it happens in probably 9 out of 10 cases. And mom sort of sets the kids up to dislike the father. Now, there are different levels of this where you have a kind of a basic level where mom just says a couple little nasty comments here and there. Oh, your father's a jerk or whatever. He's not paying the support he's supposed to. He's not paying on time. He doesn't care about us, whatever. And that's sort of like a little piddling version, which is unpleasant. And then there's sort of the full-blown version where the mother really goes berserk in upsetting the kids, telling them inappropriate things about the divorce and the case and their father, and essentially forming an alliance with the kids against the father. This is something unbelievable, and this is happening more and more and more. Generally, this is a very narcissistic woman who will do this. And as I said, we have more narcissistic women than ever before. So this is something the culture is just seeing more and more frequently. Now, what's interesting, and I was talking about the family law courts and, for example, just regular psychologists, is that, for example, if this is happening in a situation, The mother shows up to talk to a counselor or a therapist of some kind or some kind of social worker. And this is what's fascinating. She's a complete psycho, so she is like super relaxed. And she meets this therapist and she says, well, the kids are, you know, doing great and they're happy, they're with me and everything's fine. And I'm raising them and I'm getting them to school on time and they're doing their homework. And she's just sort of, you know, doing her thing as a parent. And then the kids come in and they say, oh, God, we love Mom. Mom's the best. And, you know, Dad's kind of an asshole. And the psychologist will say, well, why is your father, you know, not good? And they say, well, he's mean and he does mean things or whatever. So that's rather nondescript usually. And then they talk to Dad. Now, this is what's interesting. Dad comes in and he is probably experiencing all kinds of anger and trauma. He's been betrayed by a woman he used to love. She's given him a really hard time. Maybe he hasn't seen the kids in a long time, or if he is seeing them, the kids are pissed off when he picks them up. So he's upset about the whole situation. He comes in, and the therapist talks to him, and he comes off as angry and frustrated. And what's amazing is that in this kind of a situation, although the woman is the one who's causing all the issues, when the analysis is done, when it's kind of portrayed to the judge on the case or whatever, the people that do this analysis say, well, Mom is terrific. She's competent and she's managing. The kids are, you know, doing the best they can. They've got some anger towards Father. And Father is nasty and angry. And he has to go to parenting class and anger management class to learn how to better express all this pent-up hostility that he has. So although the mother is the source of the issues and she's manipulating everything, the blame gravitates towards the father. Now, one of the things that you were talking about, Tom, about, for example, not having kids, which is certainly legitimate to feel that way, is because this is how our society is increasingly geared. What you see, and I read these reports all the time, is how the whole system, the whole functioning of things, is blaming men for the problems, particularly of the family and particularly post-divorce. It's very, very normal today that when the police come to a domestic violence situation, so in other words, husband and wife or a couple or whoever are fighting and the police get called 911 by the neighbor or whatever because they hear screaming, the police arrive and, you know, the first thing they try to do is diffuse. They take the people and separate them. They ask them what happened. They kind of talk to the two. But their whole training and their whole basis of their thinking is that they've got to arrest someone and it's going to be the guy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And this is something that affects everything now. Now, you know, we certainly don't want to have a society that's cruel to women. And we look at the modern societies today where women don't have rights, like Saudi Arabia, where women aren't allowed to drive and women can't even be considered, you know, witnesses of any value because their testimony is, you know, 1/4 of a man's or whatever. We don't want to do that in our society. But what we've done is we've swung the pendulum very far the other way. And when you look at the society now where a woman sees something she doesn't like and she says, I feel that I've been raped, you know, and I love that. And these college students who are, you know, freaking out that they've been triggered. They want to have trigger warnings. So that means that if there's going to be a lecturer on campus, before they go to it, they need to be given a warning that they might get triggered by something the person says that might hurt their feelings or upset them. They were talking about, even in law school, not to teach about rape because that upsets the students, you know, and especially some female students. They have a whole thing that when there's a production or something at the school, they don't want you to clap afterwards because the sound of clapping could upset someone who is reminded of being hit during a domestic violence that happened to them. So, you know, you shouldn't clap. No, I'm serious. Clapping is very insensitive, Tom. If you're at a show and you clap at the end, you're kind of an asshole. because there could be there could be a woman there who's going to get triggered by your microaggression, because she is going to be reminded of the sound of her obviously cruel cisgendered ex-husband slapping her, and so now you're triggering her and causing trauma, and that's really, really unkind of you, and that should be dealt with, obviously. So when you think about the way that these structures are, and again, this is something that you talk about, the gynocracy or whatever, it's, you know, in my mind, it's okay. You know, it's okay to have a woman governor. It's okay to have a woman president. I don't, you know, I'm not against that in theory. And, for example, you know, we have, California has, you know, women senators or whatever. I don't have a problem with any of that. But when you start taking more and more of the upper echelons of society and people in decision and power situations and making them all women, this is something that's going to turn around and bite. And it's going to take some of the feminine ideals and feminine ways of thinking and make them mainstream. Now, I saw a very interesting video on YouTube of a guy who was having custody problems, and his ex-wife was suggesting that he was controlling and that he was doing things to harm their daughter. And so he was interviewed, and, you know, who do you think he's interviewed by? I mean, literally, I hate to be stereotypic, but it was like hard to even, like, it was almost a caricature. It was hard to deny. He literally had brought some sort of a hidden camera in. And he's in this room with these two enormously fat lesbians, women who are social workers. And they're telling him, you know, you as a man have tried to use a dominance theory on your ex-wife and to control the life of your daughter, and you have no right to do that. And what he had done is that his daughter told him during one of their visits that she was given pills to take by her mother, and the pills made her feel funny. And it turns out that the mother had literally gotten the daughter onto psychotropic drugs, which are these antipsychotics that are meant for adults that they give to children. And they actually give these to the daughter was only, I think, 7 or 8 years old. And she was taking these medicines, and he was trying to find out just what they were and what was going on. The mother wouldn't tell him. And so the idea that he looked into it and asked the daughter about it and tried to find out about it showed that he was a vicious man that wanted to dominate women and to control the daughter's life and control his ex-wife's life. And, you know, this is obviously a horrible thing. And you could see how, you know, the system, you don't have to have a woman judge or a male judge. That's not the point. Even if you have a male judge, if he's reading and being told in the kind of training that he gets that you have to recognize certain factors, and the factors are all geared towards the man always being wrong and the woman always being the victim, this is something that is going to obviously affect his analysis and the way he thinks of things. When you look at, well, for example, restraining orders, and we've talked about these a lot in the context of family law, you know, restraining orders, the woman says that she feels afraid, so this is completely subjective. She could be a complete hysteric, she could be crazy, and, you know, there's definitely something that you see in movies where if the guy follows the woman home and he's good-looking, she finds it flattering, you know, but on the other hand, if the guy's, you know, not good-looking and follows her home, then instead of being flattered, she's frightened. And so this, you know, connects to all these different aspects of interpretation and analysis. And on the one hand, certainly most guys are supportive of women's rights, and we don't want to see women raped or hurt. But then on the other hand, we're told that there's a rape culture. That's a new thing that's been said everywhere. And women are saying that when they walk down the street of Manhattan and someone catcalls, which is some guy says hello to them. See, I used to think that meant like you had to whistle at them or say some sex thing to them. But apparently, if a guy just says hello, beautiful, or good morning or something, you know, that woman has been raped. I thought she had been harassed. No, no, no. She's been raped and assaulted. And, you know, when you talk about a man who's, you know, being judged and being put into court, particularly in family court, and there's a real hypersensitivity to all of this. And then the social workers and the people running everything are all based on feminist theories. They're usually these butchy feminist types themselves. And, you know, there they are sitting there looking at you and judging you. And, you know, you're not going to do well. It's amazing. No matter how dedicated a father you are. And, you know, I mean, there's some bad apples, of course. There are men that are cruel or alcoholic or abusive or whatever. I'm sure there's plenty of problems. But the people that I have dealt with, by and large, have been surprisingly decent. You know, guys, you know, love their children. They love their daughters. They try to do the right thing for their sons and daughters in different circumstances. And, you know, the mother will take some incident, which makes no sense, and she will conflate it into something huge. And say, look, you see, he's stalking us, he's horrible, I'm terrified, he's doing all these things. And the more hysterical she gets, essentially the more hysterical the system gets. And there's no stopping it once it starts going. And with respect to parental alienation syndrome, you know, that's a real thing. And, you know, you see how in the time after a divorce, you know, when the divorce is pending, after the breakup, whatever that, you know, happened, very often the woman, as a woman, you know, they feel scorned and they're angry. And Shakespeare said famously, you know, the scorn of a woman and so forth, hell hath no fury. That's not a joke. You know, when you look at a woman's anger in that circumstance, and then how does she take it out on the man? And one of the greatest ways to do it is to really turn the children against him. I've seen movies, I think I was watching a movie the other day, where the guy cheated or whatever, and the woman found out, and blah, blah, and you see the scene, and she says to him, I'm going to make sure you never see your kids, you know? I mean, that is like the first thing that women think of and the first thing they go with. And to make that really effective, the courts are not, you know, going to usually stop a father from seeing the kids. You know, if he's a normal person, he's going to get some kind of visitation and custody, maybe 50-50, certainly if I'm his lawyer. And so the way the mother gets to that is by turning the kids. So now she sits there and goes, oh, I don't know. I don't know why they're so angry. I told them to go see their dad, but they don't want to go. And the very subtle and not so subtle message is one of alienation where, you know, maybe not in front of the cameras, but behind the scenes, she has told them, you know, that your father is an asshole and look how he treats me and he doesn't love you and he wanted to have an abortion on you and all this other stuff. And the alienation ends up being something very long lasting. Now, what's really interesting, Tom, and by the way, Tom, again, you've always predicted things, you know, you were always way ahead of the curve. You'll appreciate this, I think, because I was thinking of some of the things that you've said. And one of the things that you always talked about for years is how we have the first generation now raised by single mothers, men and women. And that's not a joke. And, you know, after the big world wars, for example, I mean, in Europe, in the United Kingdom, after World War I, there were like no men. They had all been killed. I mean, it's not a joke. And it was very, very common to grow up as essentially a war orphan because your father had been killed in the trenches or whatever. So we have a society now where your father may be alive, but your mother has raised you as a single, you know, parent and so forth. And you don't have that doubling connection. But, and this is something you pointed out a lot, Tom, which is that when you ask where your father is, your mother tells you that your father was a jerk and he's an asshole and he abandoned us and all that stuff. And so that this entire generation growing up now to a very large degree has been defined by that. And a lot of people in this generation coming up and so forth have experienced that and were told that by their mother. And that's a form of also parental alienation. You know, when you look at what happens to these children when they grow up and they've taken their mother's side against their father or they hate their father or whatever, generally that's the configuration. That is very, very devastating to you later on when you see these young women that end up growing up and having all kinds of problems in relationships and becoming strippers and doing all kinds of stupid shit with drugs and sex and all this, risky behaviors of various kinds. and also men as well doing all kinds of stupid things. I think a lot of this is based on the fact that they don't have that second parent. And it's very, very important, generally speaking, that children experience a father and a mother who each perform unique roles in terms of raising a child. And I've said it before, a lot of women say, well, I'll be the father, I'll be the father and the mother. And the answer is, no, you won't. You really can't be. The idea that the sexes are exactly the same and they both provide the same things are just really not true. And so when you look at the amount of psychopathology that we have today, which is absolutely more than ever, it is unbelievable. If you look at the number one drugs that are prescribed, they're psychotropics, Prozac, and drugs of that kind. There are so many women. I mean, when I was, you know, just getting to know people, you know, dating women, it's after my divorce, it's unbelievable how many women will tell you a little list of all the drugs they're on, you know, and then when they're nervous, they take a Xanax or Zoloft or whatever. And I mean, that's got to be a huge, you know, tens of millions of Americans, men and women. And I think that it's not just because of the availability of the drugs or the changes in culture. I think it's because of these underpinnings of alienated children and confused adults that don't understand their roles and don't understand what they're doing. And I think that that's where that article came from, Tom, that you spoke about in the first hour, where this guy is saying you got to man up and be responsible and give up your video games and raise children. I don't agree with what he's saying. I think that's an alternative. I don't think you have to do that. But part of what society and some people are reacting to is they're looking at young people, the state of young people, and they're saying, Jesus, look what we've done. Look at all these really mentally weak people that we've raised that are not going to be able to be functioning adults, that are not going to be able to take care of themselves. I mean, seriously, think of a woman today whose greatest hero is Kim Kardashian. I mean, what kind of woman is she going to be, Tom? Well, she's not going to be a woman like your mom. She's not going to be able to raise a family and sacrifice and love a man and work and, you know, do all the things that are necessary to function in our world. And what's really unfortunate is I think that a lot of this falls very squarely on the shoulders and responsibility of women who have become more and more childish and more narcissistic. And this is leading to, like I said, parental alienation, different kinds of psychopathologies on children, which then, you know, the fathers are out of it. They can't, you know, kind of regulate what's going on. And so the kids get crazier and crazier. And, you know, at one time, a girl wouldn't have done the shit she's done because she knew her father would have kicked her ass. How many times did you say that, Tom? You know, are you in touch with your father? If your father was around, he'd kick your ass.
That's right.
Well,
yes.
But you never asked why he's not around. I just told you why he's not around, because mom has
care of
him.
We know why he's not around.
Mom is,
and we know
fix.
Why the guy is a pussy, because there was no man present in the house.
Right, but why not? Because mom got rid of him, Tom. You know, the common thing that a woman would say to the child is, your father left us. But what she forgot to tell you is that she was a fucking maniac, and he couldn't take it anymore, and that's why he left. Now, I'm not saying that every guy is a dedicated man, and certainly when women have children against a man's will or without consent or without an agreement or whatever, and people don't have strong relationships, blah, 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 okay. But very often, when you look at the circumstances, a lot of guys tried to make it work with the woman, and she was so crazy and so hysterical and so demanding and so unreasonable that the guy couldn't take it. And then when he, you know, becomes a separate family, maybe he wants to see the kids on the weekend. I get a lot of guys who call me like that and say, I want to see my kids, and blah, 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 she won't let me. And not everyone is going to go to family court and go for a three-year battle to make it possible to see their kids. And you see that a lot of times the kids are alienated, like I just said, where they don't even want to see the father. I mean, what a frickin' mess. What a mess. And this is how it is today. And I'll tell you, Tom, if anything, as women are becoming more and more dominant in our culture and men are just giving up on it all and sitting in the basement of their mother's house playing video or whatever, I mean, I think it's totally legitimate. But if you look at the choices that are being made, masculinity is a thing of the past. And by the way, women hate it. This is what women are lamenting. When women say, where have all the real men gone? I can't find a real man. Where have all the cowboys gone? This is what they're talking about. But we're not raising those anymore. They're not raising them anymore. And if a woman is telling her sons, you've got to be sensitive, honey, and you've got to cry, and you've got to care about a woman's feelings, give me a freaking break. That just makes it even more absurd. So
let's take a break here, Adam, if we can, because we have callers coming in, and we want to get to them. And Adam Sachs is here. He is family law attorney Adam Sachs. He's answering your questions about divorce, child support, child custody, separation. It could be about whether to get a prenup or a postnup, how to do that. Or maybe you've just gotten a restraining order because marriage is just that great.
Love,
here's
love,
the
love.
Phone number to talk to. Here's the number to talk to Adam right now. 901-3000-TOM. You can call him right now and talk to him. It's free legal advice for you. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. With family law attorney Adam Sachs in studio. Free legal advice for you. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call Adam Sachs right now. You've only got 30 minutes left. 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Tony in Orange County. Tony, you're on with Adam. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tony.
Hello,
hey,
Tony.
Hey, I kind of got to drop the ball, Tom. I have a girlfriend of 8 years, have two kids with her. One's 14, the other one's 8 years old. And we split up for about a year. I got into a little fling, got this pregnant. And I told her to get an abortion. She didn't want to. She told me, you know, I'll take care of her. I don't need to. I'll raise her. I'll raise them by myself. This and that. And I received a letter about a couple months ago from child support. So now I guess she's coming after me.
Right.
And my question was to Adam. This letter is it's a notice of motion, which is also I was trying to fill it out and everything, and I wanted to see what should I do to prepare myself to go to court and all this other stuff.
Right. Well, I'd love to know how you have a 14-year-old from this other relationship if you were only with her for 8 years. So that's
well, actually, yeah, yeah.
That's
I've been with
thing.
Her for 15.
Yeah. So you got with her when you guys were 15 or 16 years old?
Yeah, we were fresh out of high school.
Right, high school sweetheart.
30,
I love it.
36. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. And by the way, that's part of the reason that you had that fling with the other girl, because you didn't have enough experience on your own and just fooling around with girls. You got right into this thing when you were post high school, and then immediately had a child and another child. So that's really a shame,
yeah.
You know. You need to be, I don't say you have to have hundreds of partners. Some people do, but, you know, at least experiment with a few. It's a shame to limit yourself that much. But obviously, in the circumstance with a second woman, you know, you didn't use birth control, and so she got pregnant. It is not surprising that she told you, she's going to take care of the kid. I've heard that many, many times. You know, once they're pregnant, they say, oh, I can't have an abortion, but don't worry, I'm going to take care of everything, and I don't need your help, and I'm just going to raise the kid, and I won't come after you. And then, I mean, literally, as soon as the kid is born, they're filing the documents. And you're talking about filling them out yourself or trying to go to court yourself. That is an unbelievably big mistake. If you look at the child support laws, they can very easily take a third to a half of your monthly income away from you. And that's a lot of money, and that's going to add up for 18 years. How many payments is that, Tom?
I'm just thinking again. It's 216
payments. 216 monthly
payments.
So
yep.
You're going to go into court and deal with that without a lawyer. You're out of your mind. You need to go.
Yeah.
You need to have someone like me help you, and you need to make sure that you deal with it, that you minimize the obligation. And also, you know, if you have another child out there, you need to make sure that you have proper custody and visitation orders that you can see that child and have that child involved in, you know, your life, and you're involved in the child's life. And obviously your other children have to get to know that child and so forth. And
well, my thing, Adam, was I didn't want to get any kind of a visitation. I wanted to fight for some sort of custody, maybe every other weekend, try to see my daughter.
Yeah, I understand. But I mean, if you had done it correctly, you could have gotten primary visitation. You know, she's probably very angry at you that you told her not to have the kid, to have an abortion or whatever. She's nice enough to tell that to the child. I just was talking about parental alienation, and that's, you know, a kind of alienation. But the bottom line is, are you seeing that child now?
Probably once a month.
All right, well, that's not fair, and that's not appropriate. And
I go visit, and her mom won't open the door for me, or I would like to have an ice cream, but, you know, everything, I have to be there. You know, they have to be looking at me and everything, and I feel really uncomfortable one of their brothers is a felon.
All right, well, that's I don't know why you got involved with a woman like that, but what's done is done. You know, the bottom line is that it's very typical that they're controlling, and she's told the mother what a horrible guy you are, and so she doesn't want to open the door or whatever. Stupid. And you shouldn't be dealing with that. And if you're going to be having this going on for a very long time, 18 years, until the child's an adult, then you need to get specific custody orders so that they know and everyone knows what days are your days and what's the story. And you come pick up the kid, and if she doesn't cooperate, you can call the police and have them help you enforce the orders. And once you do that once or twice, they'll never screw around with you again. But the way you're doing it now, you don't have court orders. They're not taking you seriously. And so the mother says, hey, we're going to sit here. If you want to see the kid, we have to stay in the room or have to go with you or watch you. Now, that's nonsense. And you're allowing that to happen by not asserting your rights. And you got to stop being stupid.
My other question was, would I be able to consider my other two kids as hardship children?
All right, so you want to do this yourself and fill out the forms, and you want me to help?
No. I'm gonna call you. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely call you because I've been Googling you,
let me ask you a serious question. Okay, so you got served with these documents. These people are talking about taking away a large amount of your income directly from your check, garnishing it. That's going to end up being tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of dollars over 18 years. Don't you feel that it's important to have a professional make sure that you don't get screwed? Isn't that obviously important?
Yes, it is.
How do you think it's going to go for you? Seriously, and I go to court all the time and see these guys. How do you feel it's going to go for you if you go to court without a lawyer? Seriously.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, I've heard your story.
You're
going to
get steamrolled. You're going to get slaughtered, okay?
Yeah.
And this is something that you shouldn't be surprised about, because her story to you that she wasn't going to come after you for support, of course that was a lie. Of course that was a lie. Okay? And by the way, isn't this causing a lot of problems in that other relationship you have with the mother of the two kids?
Oh, yes, it is.
So she's probably furious, right?
Yes, she is.
So you didn't ever think about, like, when you're with the other woman, using a condom maybe?
She told me she couldn't get pregnant.
Really?
She had some sort of a tumor.
A tumor,
something.
Huh? So this is, she had a miracle baby like the Virgin Mary.
Wait a minute. How long have you been a listener here? Are you a new listener?
Brand new
to me. No, Tom, I've been listening to the 97.1 years.
Oh.
Right. And what made you disobey my command here? What made you think you knew more than I knew about this subject? Tell us.
Well, I didn't know, Tom. It was just, you know, she...
No. You did know. I told you. That's review.
Yeah.
I told you to never have sex without a condom. Never.
Well, Tom,
because women lie.
It doesn't feel as good, Tom.
Do you remember? Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do, Tom.
So why did you have sex without a condom?
That was just, I guess, in the heat of the moment, you know.
The heat of the moment, you know, the thing is, you can never get so much into the moment that you forget that this is your entire future. This is the rest of your life we're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't care. You just threw your life away. You know, you would say, what a tragedy. That guy who put the gun to his head and blew his brains out, such a tragedy. But here you are. you had the rest of your life to look forward to. You'd already made one big mistake. You had the rest of your life. And instead of looking at the rest of your life and saying, God, I want it to be great, you went ahead and had sex with this woman without a condom. You believed her bullshit story, and I've told you for years that women lie. They lie about lots of things, but being on birth control is the biggest thing they lie about. And you totally ignored that.
Yeah, I
did. How did you knock up two women? And what are you doing with a girlfriend? Why?
Yeah.
That's not the heat of the moment.
Yeah, it's fine.
What have I been telling you since 1998 about having a girlfriend?
Don't have one.
Right. What have I been telling you about having a baby?
I don't have one.
Right. So you ignored not just one thing that I told you, but multiple rules you broke. Because you thought you knew better. Did you know better?
No, I did not.
And then you repeated the same mistakes again. Right?
Right.
And you're still believing shit women tell you, even now.
Not really, because now I know it. I'm not taking another bullshit. I'm trying to fight back.
Now you're trying to fight back.
By going to court without a lawyer, that's fighting back.
No. I mean, seriously, Tony, I can't sit and listen to this anymore because I gave you all the tools you needed, all the information you needed, and you just blew it up. You just ignored it. And now your life's a mess.
It really hurts me also, Tom, when you talk about this. It's really unfortunate when these guys have two baby mamas. Can you imagine?
Right.
You got these two pissed off women. And now he's trying to reconcile, I guess, with the original one with the two kids. Then he's got this other one in the orbit with the one kid. And
by the way, how many kids is it? Are we talking about three kids, Tony?
Right.
Three, right?
Three, yes.
So how many moments were you in heat like that you just went ahead and did this again and again? How many times?
The first two were, I guess, I was in love. And
yeah, but what did I tell you about love? What did I tell you about girlfriends? What did I tell you about having babies?
Yeah. Nope. Avoid.
216 monthly payments. Tony, you've bought cars. Have you ever had a car that had 216 easy monthly payments?
No, I have not.
Right. And yet, here you have... let me ask you about the pussy you got. Is that worth 216 monthly payments?
No pussy's worth that.
Yeah, well, guess what? You didn't get 216 monthly payments. Okay? You... are you ready for this? You got 648 monthly payments.
Yes.
Was the pussy that good?
No, it was not, Tom.
But you kept doing it. I mean, seriously.
Well, the reality is, you know, obviously unfortunate. We don't mean to beat up on you, Tony. It's sad to hear this, and I feel bad, like I said, that you're going to have these two pissed-off baby mamas up your ass at all times, you know? And then this fling woman, you have her mother angry at you, too, and giving you a hard time. And to have these women sitting there, you know, vacuuming the money out of your wallet is also going to be difficult. And so you've got to pull yourself together. You've got to stop doing this thing that Tom talks about where you let your life just have this tidal wave wash over you. You have to start taking control, and that's why it's really important to deal properly with the custody and visitation issues and certainly the child support issue, and I certainly can help you. And you got to get a vasectomy, or at the very least you got to start using birth control with the woman you're with or any woman you end up having any affairs with or anything else, that you don't keep making kids all over the place. It's just going to be a never-ending problem that you have, and you're going to end up really suffering for it. And if you're not someone who can use a condom consistently, and you're with these women that are bullshitting you, that they're on birth control, they can't get pregnant, which is always the classic lie that a woman says, then you've got to get a vasectomy. This way you don't have to worry about it on your side. And I certainly would recommend that for you. But you've got to start dealing with your life and getting a handle on it so this isn't something that just keeps, you know, repeating and repeating. Seriously, you got to look at it that way, right? Look how much trouble it's caused you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Tom, right? You're not beating the guy up, right? This is we're trying to.
Well, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. What's done's done. You know, he's fucked
right.
himself over. But there's other people listening right now. I had the guy call in on Money Monday.
Right, right.
And he's like, "Yeah, I had a kid, but are you with that woman anymore? No, that was my baby mama. But now I'm with my girlfriend, and we're talking about buying a house." I'm talking to these guys day in and day out. The vast majority of them are Mexican. And they've all been programmed, they've all been hypnotized in this idea, they've gotta have babies, they gotta have girlfriends, they gotta buy houses, they gotta buy things they can't afford. And, you know, I've lived amongst Mexicans and Mexican Americans for the better part of 30 years of my life, over 30 years. I love these guys. I know them intimately. One of the reasons I know their family so intimately is because I dated their sisters or their daughters or their, or in some cases their mothers. Okay. So I am well aware of the culture we're talking about. And I am trying to teach these guys who are the core of our audience that do not listen to your grandmother who grew up in an agricultural community in Mexico. About how you raise families and buy land and buy houses. You don't live in Mexico. You live in California. You live in the 21st century. And this idea that you're just going to drop kids here and drop kids there. Again, the amazing thing about this also is most Mexicans I know are Catholic. This, where do they get the idea they just be having baby mamas all over the place? It blows my mind. It blows my mind. So what I'm trying to do here is...
By the way, Tom, that's also the girls that have sex, but then are religious and can't have an abortion. I love that.
That's these are the chicks who have anal sex so that they can remain virgins. I get the mentality here. But what I'm trying to say is Tony's not the only Tony. There's thousands of Tonys out there, like the guy who called me yesterday. There's thousands of them. And I'm trying to get to all of them to say, slow it down. Stop having babies. Stop having girlfriends. Stop buying real estate you can't afford. Stop. And then, by the way, more than half the guys I talk to, if I ever ask them, your mom wants you to have babies and make her a grandmother, is she still married to your dad? And more, year after year, the answer is no. So you've got all these guys in Mexican and Mexican-American families whose moms... who are now in the cougar range and they used to go to the Foxfire to meet young guys. There they are trying to encourage their sons to get married and have babies. And meanwhile, their own marriages haven't worked out. And so I'm trying to tell these guys, you know, get with it. Pay attention. Look around you. And they're not hearing the message. Tony's been listening for years and paid no attention to anything I ever said. Ever. And the guy who called it on Money Monday is a long-time listener, and he's doing the same thing, heading down that same road. So it gets frustrating. And so by saying what I'm saying to Tony, I'm hoping other of our loyal listeners who grew up in Mexican and Mexican-American households, I want you to hear the message I'm telling to Tony. You do not need to be having babies and growing the family and spending money on real estate you can't afford and be paying all this child support and having multiple baby mamas. You need to take action. You need to be proactive. And these guys are not proactive. They are sitting back and letting life wash over them like a tidal wave. Am I wrong?
That was my quote.
Am I wrong?
You're right.
I think now that the damage is done, I think what Tony just has to start.
Well, Tony now just needs to go ahead and try to mitigate the damage. He'll never, you know, fix all of it. But he needs to try to get the most visitation at the lowest possible price. That's what he needs to get. And you other guys out there who are going down Tony's road, you need to make a U-turn.
I like that, Tom. Going down the road, and it's time to make a U-turn.
Right. Back out of the driveway, guys.
I got to remember
Stop.
That one.
Stop.
Back out of the driveway, boys. I like that, Dad. That's a good one.
They're going, these guys are going right through the garage door. They don't even know it. So I didn't mean to so much interrupt as I meant I had to get in here and I had to say something because Tony's been listening all these years and has paid no attention. None.
Now he needs
to fix it.
I know, but I feel like we killed the guy. He's like, he's not there anymore. Tony, well, I'm sorry.
I'm still here.
I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, man. Do you understand what Dad's talking about?
Yes, I do. I do.
I mean,
you know, I got to get my shit together, you know, and start off by getting a lawyer and fighting back.
Come on, dude. You're not 14 anymore, you know. You got to start thinking about this. Seriously.
So what I'm going to do for you, Tony, is I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get you in touch with Adam directly. And Dean will love to make sure that happens, get you two together, and try to fix as much as Adam can fix. Because as we all know, he has that sign down in the garage, we fix bad brake jobs. And that's kind of part of the deal here. Never should have had a bad brake job, but you did.
All right,
Tony. So Tony's talking to Dean. We have another break here, Mikey.
Tom, let me ask you something before the break. One second.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, I mean, how do I force this guy? I don't know what to do. He ends up calling me. He's so passive, you know, and he's like, oh, I guess.
Because he wants to save. Come on.
What, he wants to get fucked.
He wants to save $1,000 or whatever it is.
What, save $1,000 to lose $100,000?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that doesn't make sense, my friend.
Yeah, you know, again. This goes back to the person I knew who was getting a divorce, who I said, who's your attorney? And she said, oh, I don't have an attorney. I said, well, how are you getting a divorce? She said, well, I'm going down to the UPS store to pick up some of those forms.
Jesus.
To fill out. They got forms. You
don't
fill
even
them out, you're going to file them yourself.
Don't even say it.
So I said to her, well, do you know how to fill out the forms? Do you know what you're supposed to write there? And she said, I got it covered. The lady at the UPS store, she's helped a lot of people with these. She's going to help me fill it out.
Yes, the lady at the UPS store is the legal expert now.
That is the mentality. This was Hispanic female, by the way, who was telling me this and was totally serious. And it comes from the mentality of people saying they don't go to the garage to get their car repaired. Somebody's cousin is going to come over and fix my car. Now, Adam, if you have really gotten embedded with Mexican Americans and Mexicans, which I have,
right,
because I've gotten into bed with many, and so you're with their families and you're at their homes, there is a mentality like you would never go to a mechanic you didn't know, you'd go to the cousin. Or I dated one woman whose son owned a body shop. And so anytime somebody has an accident, they don't go to, you know, a pro. Or like, you know, they might have a 1989 BMW and they're taking it to this kid. Fix the car. And so it's the same thing. Who needs an attorney? My friend had a divorce. He's going to tell me what to do. That's how it works.
It's a heartbreak.
I am trying. You know, this is not just individual guys. This is an entire mentality that exists among people I love very much. And I, over the years,
Tom, is that Latino or that's Mexican?
It is Latino, but it's even more Mexican because not all Latinos are the same. You know, there are Latinos in places like Argentina or Chile. They're not the same. But there are similarities that cross all boundaries. And I'm trying to tell people, you know, this doesn't work. You know, we're in the United States. In the United States. People hire attorneys. They hire accountants. They have pros that take care of this stuff. You don't call your brother-in-law to fix things. You don't.
What I saw today in court, which is criminal court I went to today, is a whole line of Mexican guys coming to court without a lawyer. So it's not that they're getting bad advice or the brother-in-law who doesn't know law or he's a real estate lawyer. They go in naked without anyone, and they get screwed one after another. It's sad. I don't understand that mentality. Anyway.
I don't get it either, but again, it goes, you know what, because you have an area of specialty, I think, Adam, sometimes you think it's just they don't like lawyers, or they don't want to pay lawyers.
Maybe.
But in reality, it's much bigger than that. It's the idea of wanting to use somebody in the family, or wanting to do business with somebody who's a friend or a neighbor. And so they would rather go to the brother-in-law or the mother-in-law who works at the UPS store than to go to an expert.
I don't know, because
part of what we're trying to do here is educate.
I see them in court with no expert, and they think they've saved $1,000 or $2,000 not hiring a lawyer.
Well.
And they get screwed, obviously, much more. I mean, today, for example, I saw a bunch of DUI guys, and they all came in and pled guilty, okay? And the typical fines that the judge imposed on them were in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. Okay,
right.
Seriously, fines.
Mm-hmm.
And plus they're on probation and it's going to ruin their careers and everything else. But the bottom line is, if they had hired a lawyer for $3,000 to $4,000, I could have gotten the whole thing dismissed.
Right.
Now, wouldn't that have been smarter than paying it to the government?
And that would have saved a lot more than the $3,000 to $4,000.
Of course.
Because, as we always say, there's the points on your license, there's the insurance,
everything.
There's the court fees,
right.
There's the alcohol re-education fees. I mean, you are in for well over $10,000.
Yeah, so how
on
can
a
you,
simple first
how
time
could you
offense?
Justify not hiring a lawyer? When you talk about the
right.
Child support cases, I might charge a few thousand, but I'm going to save you tens of thousands in support you would have paid.
Right.
So
right.
Obvious.
And you know me, I hire professionals.
Well, I know that, but
never.
Even if it's not
ever.
So obvious, this is so obvious.
But again, if you are raised with a certain mentality in a certain culture, it isn't obvious.
I see.
I mean, I could write a book about what I've observed. I am not Hispanic, but I have observed families from various countries who all speak Spanish but come from various cultures. And it's a much bigger thing. Example, anytime I talk to people who are Latino about a magazine like Consumer Reports, A, they've never heard of it. B, they don't understand why I'd want to use it. Most people I know who are Hispanic, the way they buy a washing machine is, they go to Best Buy, and they see a washing machine they like, and then they buy it. Is it good? Is it bad?
Who knows?
Are people returning these washing machines? They don't even know. But is the likelihood, and I'm speaking about friends here, I'm not making generalizations about people I don't know. What we're talking about here is people who, the whole family gets dressed up. Grandma and grandpa get dressed up. The parents, kids, they all get dressed up in their best attire. And they'll head out to a store like Best Buy or Pacific Sales. And they will buy a washing machine. And they'll all look at it and say, what do you think of it? Looking at it.
It's beautiful.
And which tells you nothing. And the idea, well, I say, well, don't you go to Consumer Reports, get the highest rated appliance? No.
Consumer what?
Well, but the lawyer thing is part of that mentality. You're talking about a culture where it's more important to go out with your family on Sunday and go shop for an appliance than to get the exact right one, look it up, research it. Same thing with restaurants. I don't know any Latinos who use Yelp. They drive down the street and they say, that place looks good. And my mentality is like, it's the gringo mentality of saying, well, why don't we do some research first?
Uh-huh.
All right? So it's not just lawyers. I don't know a single Latino who has a CPA. I don't know a single Latino who hasn't bought a car from somebody in the family.
Wow.
I don't.
Hey, Tom. Well, this all has right? got to be resolved because they're getting screwed. It's too much.
Right. Let's say hello here to Michael in Torrance. Michael, bonus hour. Hello.
Hey, Colin. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Great.
Doing good. So Adam, I've talked to you before, and you and Tom, and I went through a whole long 9 or 10 years of PAS. Crazy, you know, accusation, and I was able to knock it down, and most of the time, I had a lawyer there. There were times I ran out of money and had to appear, but was able to get enough time bought to get a lawyer in there. So you're right. I'll say that straight out.
Thanks.
You're absolutely right, Adam, that you cannot go into these courtrooms today, especially, and not go up across the bar and do this on your own. You must have a lawyer. So that made a difference. But I let you drug out. Most of the stuff you drug out, I've been through. I've been through it in an enormous way, and it continues to go on even now. You know, I told you a few weeks ago and talked about my kid turning 14, and she's already playing games about that
Right. And
doing all this stuff. So tell us, you know, I've known you now a long time. You know, we've talked. I trust what you have to say. Can you give us some mechanics, some things we can do in order to combat TAS syndrome, where the mother uses those types of tactics you described about targeting the father with accusations to the kids and then going into these therapists and into the courtrooms, and is there something we can do there? And I'll say one thing, you know, Adam, I mean, Dean asked me a question, you know, because he's coming up on 14, for example. Well, you know, your kid must see by now that he wants to be with you to turn 14. Yeah, that's real easy to say, but one thing you didn't mention is these mothers take the money from the other guys they've brought in and gotten married to in the last 14 years since I've been was with her, and she uses his money now to buy my kids love, too. Gives them
right. Hockey
jerseys and gives them – he's got an Xbox One and an Xbox Two and a PlayStation, and he's got the, you know, the iPhone 7, and he's got every puck, you know, that the Kings – I mean, so – tell us what we can do as men to equalize this and be able to do something about it. Do you have some ideas on that?
Well, one of the things that's really significant, and the reason I talk about this at all, is, you know, recognizing that PAS, parental alienation syndrome, actually exists, because it's not generally recognized, as I've said. And what you just talked about is absolutely true. It's very, very common that the children's love is purchased. And nowadays, kids want all these gadgets and iPads and all this crap, and the parent who provides those things is considered the better parent. That's not a joke. And so
Yep. The
father is thrilled. Finally, the children are 13 or 14 or 15, and they're able to make their own decision. And they say, well, Dad, I'd love to come live with you, but Mom just got me a new Xbox. You go, are you kidding me? That's all it comes down to. Tom says not to have kids, right? I mean, the parental
Yeah. Love
comes down to who bought you the Xbox. That's
Yep. Pretty
disturbing. But, you know, when they talk about the manipulation of women in parental alienation syndrome, the only way to deal with it is to get the kids away from the mother, at least temporarily. And so,
Adam, let me interrupt one thing here, too. So, for example, you are right. You got to get an ironclad order that specifically says you're to pick him up at 4 o'clock at this location.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I bring him back at 6 o'clock at this location, and these are the dates. Not only that, but the thing that we had to also do is, you know, amount of weekends on a month, because she starts saying, well, you know, you've had him, because of the holidays will jump, you've had him for 3 weekends in a row, and that's really hard for him to be away from his mom for 3 weekends. All at the same time, she's got him during the week time. So she plays that game, and I've had to say, no, it's taken me a lot of time and effort to make an ironclad order, and it's still not ironclad, because it's like this. Everybody speeds on the freeway. It's only those that get caught that have to go to court.
Right.
And the same thing goes with these mothers who don't do shit. In order for me to fire up an RFO for court, which is a declaration, for those that understand, a declaration that says this mother's not following the order, it costs money. I've got to go to the lawyer and say, okay, here's $1,500 or $2,000 or $3,000, whatever. And then you got to pull her over, literally, in a metaphorical way, and say, I'm giving you a citation, and now you're going to come to court and you're going to answer it. Which, that takes a lot of time and money and effort. So, I get going to court. I get getting lawyers and stuff. Is there something because you've seen so much of this, I got some of my answers, but I'd like to hear maybe have some ideas how we can document or maybe keep records or take pictures or take video. What do you suggest and what's legal?
No, that's very well. That's exactly right. What you just said. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to keep records. You've got to remember the things that go on. You know, one of the reasons that women win is because they're relentless. Tom, I think you talked about this with your sisters when you were a little kid or whatever. That they just, you know, they don't give up. They use 99 bottles of beer on the wall or
right.
whatever.
That's right.
They just keep going and going and going. And eventually you say, if you just shut the fuck up, then I'll do whatever you want, okay?
I'm right. No, 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 I'm right.
Yeah.
You know, you got to recognize women don't necessarily mature very much beyond that. So even though you're dealing with a grown woman, a lot of what informs her behavior is that childish stuff. And so you you've got to keep a record. You got to pay attention. You got to be able to spell it out for the courts. And like I said, in the case of alienation, it's very, very difficult. You have to make sure that the kids understand what's going on, and you're going to have to get the kids away from her for at least a little bit of time so that they can clear their minds and start dealing with the true reality. And if all it comes down to with your son is who's buying him an Xbox, he's got some very big issues anyway.
Well, I got an Xbox, but that's not the point. It's not that. It's the other part is in the last, I was going to tell you this. In the last 6 years, I've had this really good order that says the times and the dates, the pickup, the drop-offs, the vacations, and it's worked for the most part. There's always been a little way she wiggles on it, but I can usually catch her on it. But there was a one particular thing I went to court back about 4 years ago that said she has to put him in physical activities, which meant by her doctors and her the therapist at the court appointed that we still have for him because of the acrimony in the relationship. The judge wanted a therapist involved, so he's been going to that, which is fine. He's got a place to go. It seemed to work out. But she has not in almost 6 years now put him in any activities. But she just now did a month ago because now she knows he's turning 14, and the conversation came up. Well, you know what? You could sit here and tell me all day long he's going to live with you, but you're not following the court order. You are in contempt of the order. You haven't done it. You've promised it. You've come in front of the judge. You've told everybody, the evaluators, the therapists, all these thousands of dollars of people that have been in your life, you're going to do this, and you haven't done it. And now she's going to put him into hockey for the next 90 days, and she thinks she's going to stand somewhere in next fall saying, well, now that I've been a good parent, I want to take a weekend away from his dad because I don't want to drive to where I have to drive him 3 weekends out of the month, which gives me roughly 42% on the big year when I have Thanksgiving and I have spring break that year. So that's 42% I get. If that, you know what I'm saying, right? With the time.
Yeah, well,
that's
good. It sounds like you're not letting her have any wiggle room, which is good, because you see she'll get you inch by inch by inch. That's how women win, drip by drip by drip.
Well, that's it. So that's the kind of game they play. And then you come in and say, well, this is what goes on. And they say, well, I'm a mom. And when sooner they say I'm a mom stuff, that's when my butt puckers and I start going, fuck this shit. I'm sick of hearing.
Well,
you know,
say,
I'm the
mama bear protecting my cubs.
Adam, I'll tell you something. I've worked, man. I know how to change a diaper. I can feed this kid. I can change diapers faster than anybody in America because I decided, and I want to say this to you and all the men in America that are listening to this thing, I took control of my half of the street, and I did it because I didn't want her to tell me I could never do none of it, and I've been able to do it. And it's pissed her off to the end, but that's something I did to try to equalize it, and that's something I had to do. I can do it. The only thing I can't do is whip out my boob and feed him milk. And you know what? After a couple of months, that's over with anyway. So you just go on to the next, go buy it at the store. But I just want to say that's the stuff that it's infuriating. It's crazy that she's winning. And PAS, Adam, I think you might agree, is recognized. But the courts don't like to talk about it. They don't like to go down that road. And the lawyers I've had are like, no, you can't say it that way. You got to say obstructionist. You got to say, you know, someone who made a bad choice. Or, I don't know. Even the lawyers puss out on it sometimes.
Yeah,
so,
what
do you
say,
do about that?
Gatekeeping. That's another one.
Gatekeeping?
Yeah.
Yeah? But it's not. Accepted by some of the courts and some of these judges, you know, they go home to their wives and their wives squeeze their nuts off and they'll say, no, make sure you take care of the women and the children in the courtroom. It's like, no.
No. So, we have a very vaginized society. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's tough because men, I think it's now up to what, 25% of men now have full custody of their kids or something. I just read that recently.
No, think about how much that is compared to what it used to be. It was 1 or 2%. Now it's more than 20%.
All right, Michael? I want to get as many people in here as we can.
Sure.
So I'm going to move on to Jeff in Moore Park. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Tom, thank you for letting me into your forum.
Sure.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, basically, my situation right now is my visitation's been stripped over the dishes. I've been alienated from my child since basically October 22nd, 2013.
Wow.
And I've seen my child all for about 10 minutes.
Wow, Jeff, geez.
And in the last year, she doesn't call me. And in response to the guy that just called, talking about the gatekeeper, that's what I'm dealing with right now. But the gatekeeper is not my ex-wife. The gatekeeper is minor counsel.
Oh, and wow, minor counsel. Wow.
I was, it was a couple years ago. It was, I didn't have money for an attorney, and I was representing myself, and I was starting to kick her ass, and I had her in the corner, but then it got so sticky that I had to bring an attorney in, and now she got out of the corner. So now the gatekeeper, minor counsel, is they've pushed for therapy, individual therapy, and I'm not even getting any cooperation, no communication from nobody, and it's getting it's ridiculous.
Yeah. What ends up happening, you know, Tom, you know this story, that if situations are complex, the court will give the child their own lawyer. And they call that minor's counsel. And generally that's a woman, I'm sorry to say. And she immediately takes the mother's side. And,
which she has.
And very unfortunately, you've got to really be aware of the different personalities of who the minor's counsels are. And if you didn't have a lawyer and you don't have someone experienced, you might have gotten someone really bad. And now that person has tremendous influence in terms of the courts really listen to the minor's counsels. She's giving her impression, which of course is that you're a jerk and the child needs to be with the mother. And you're talking about having 10 minutes with your child for the past several years. So you got to call me after the show and I'll talk to you and we'll try to fix this up. But that is a great example of what we're talking about, an alienation and getting the father out of the child's life.
And you see
how the courts are complicit in this.
April 25th, Tom, I'm not sure if you're aware, but April 25th is Parent Alienation Awareness Day that Jason Patrick spoke about. I mean, has created. It's been going on for about like 2 years now.
Right.
And the mayor of Thousand Oaks actually stamped a document making it an awareness. We've been trying to get it into schools.
Wow.
I work at the school district, but they're not paying attention.
You know, Jason Patrick is a celebrity, and he had a really, really horrible case. And I know the judge in his case personally and a lot of these other factors. He ended up turning the case around later on appeal, but he was actually completely separated from his child. And he ended up getting that fixed later on, but that was a terrible, terrible mess. And, you know, this is something that has been going on for a long time, and it is getting recognized more and more. And all I can say is you got to fight for your child no matter what happens. And I'm sorry you haven't had contact in so long, but that's something I can try to help you fix up. But you see how bad it can get, and you also said that you represented yourself for a while. A big mistake, I would say, right?
All right, Jeff, thank you. And when we come back, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam yourself directly. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. Standing law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. I'm on Facebook. Check me out there. I put all kinds of interesting postings. And I love the most of all things. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, there you go. By the way, it's the return of Flash Friday, and it's coming up Friday, May 6th, at Spearmint Rhinos, Dames and Games, Topless Sports Bar and Grill. In Tomtown, L.A. this time. That's right, our first time at their downtown location. And just like their place in Van Nuys, like Hooters, on steroids. Be there for after work special. Ice cold beer on tap, wings, burgers, steaks, and more. Watch sports on a ton of flat screens and giant projection screens. And there's a full soundproof sports bar featuring all major local and national events. Another boys' night out at Dames and Games, Washington Boulevard, downtown Los Angeles. Go to damesandgames.net, damesandgames.net. Save the date and come see our whole crew. Friday night, May 6th, more details coming up. Okay, I'm going to take one more. No, that call went away, so that's going to be it, Adam, one more time. How can people reach you?
Call me at 800-340-7320.
Got it. All right. Or write him at adam@adamlawyer.com. There you go.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. A reminder, everybody who's listening live, in the morning, beginning about 7:45 Pacific time, 10:45 Eastern time, keep an eye on our Facebook page. Because tomorrow is going to be the bottling of our Pedal to the Metal 2014 Syrah. It's being bottled, and we're going to give it our best shot to show it as live video on our Facebook page. So if you go to the Tom Likas Show Facebook page, this will start to play live at some point after 7:45 in the morning. I know it's early. That's why I'm at the ranch. So don't forget to check that out. And by the way, you can still get some of that wine, but there won't be much left. Don't be fooled by how many bottles are coming off the assembly line. Most of those are already spoken for. But if you want to get a bottle or two or six or 12, all you have to do is go to tom.wine. Tom.wine, that's www.tom.wine.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yay.
New study shows that having sex just once a week boosts the happiness level in relationship. Any more than that apparently doesn't make anybody happier, which is it's just kind of weird.
Well, let's ignore that part.
It's just once a week, apparently. If you don't do it once a week, you're not generally happy in your relationship. Any more than once a week, they didn't find any difference. University of Toronto.
I guess that does count.
At least it counts up there in Toronto.
This has been compiled by 25,000 people.
Right, it's a lot of people, man. And not so much banging. Just once a week.
Just once.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of relationships we're talking about here. I mean, I guess if you're saddled down with, you know, with the missus, I just getting it done once a week, probably just all you need.
Benefits of maxing out once a week. Right. Man.
That's it. Once a week, man. Central Indiana pain doctor is accused of trading sex for pills, facing multiple felony counts.
He had an
employee called special patients that he would spend a little extra time with, and also, for some reason, was prescribing just a little more pills. During visits with those patients, he apparently requested that you knock before entering.
That's that special time.
Special time with special patients.
Yeah, they're really upset over the pill distribution because they were distributed without any legitimate medical purpose.
Sure. Hmm. They're quite uptight there about the whole drug thing in Indiana.
It's like a Schedule II drug, and they're upset.
Yes. It's a scourge on society.
I understand the hydrocodone. Morphine,
Not so much.
Amphetamines, could get the...
Right. Remember that guy David Guest that used to be married to Liza Minnelli?
The guy looks like a cartoon, or looked like a cartoon character.
Well, so does Liza.
That's true, too.
Was he just a beard? Were they having sex? What's her deal?
I don't know, but the dude, I would guess, definitely, flip sides. That's my guess.
Well, dude is definitely D-E-D dead now.
So it's okay. Yeah, looking at him, I'm going to guess yes.
He died in a London hotel. They think he was 60-something. They're not quite
62,
sure.
62, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no...
Looks like he's been dead for years.
There's nothing suspicious about this except for the fact that he colored his hair black and had like a boy band goatee thing, and there's that.
Yep. We didn't see this coming. Apparently, porn actors having trouble because of these new virtual reality cameras they have. You see, you strap all this shit on them now, and apparently some of the dudes are having trouble keeping it up.
Right. A staffer said that male talent has a lot of trouble keeping it up with such heavy gear in their chests, and scenes have to be filmed multiple times.
Yeah.
So even this virtual reality thing hitting porn is becoming popular. Now the performers are having difficulty.
Sure.
And
it's like a wacky POV, but you've got to strap all this stuff to you. It's an awful lot to go through. And I don't know. I mean, I guess they're just they're pounding.
They're having trouble.
Pounding blue pills just to deal. I suppose. Finally, it's a pig alert for you. It's Jose Canseco's daughter, Josie Canseco.
Come on.
We've featured stuff from her before. She apparently doing a little modeling.
Yes, and she's doing like arm bras and
yes.
everything else. Jose Canseco did one thing and one thing awesome, and that is Josie.
Right. Play more newsforguys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the new normal.
Oh, fucking blow me.